Welcome to Table Talk, the podcast that takes an in-depth look at the dynamic and exciting restaurant world. We sit down with industry leaders as they share best practices, highlight smart solutions, and discuss strategies for growth, ultimately helping food service operators learn how to affect positive change and grow their business. Now, here is your host, editor and publisher of Food Service and Hospitality Magazine, Rosanna Kyra.
So I'm happy to have with me today Jay Ashton. Jay is National Business Resources Lead for Sysco Canada. Jay started his career in the food service industry 30 years ago in Swift Current, Saskatchewan, and after venturing off to Alberta to attend college in Medicine Hat and Red Deer, he finished off his post-secondary degree at the University of Lethbridge. While completing his degree in the arts, Jay continued to work in the food service industry, as that's really where he was drawn to with all the passion that he had for this industry. And after finishing post-secondary school, he worked his way up to successfully managing numerous chain and independent restaurants. His career took an amazing shift towards Sysco, where for the past 16 years, he's consulted with thousands of restaurants across Canada, both on the independent operator side and corporate chains. Today, Jay enjoys leading Canada's largest food service consulting team for Sysco Canada that consists of 16 culinary centers in all major cities, 80 corporate chefs, consultants, marketing managers, and specialists. So welcome, Jay, and thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us here today as part of our Table Talk podcast.
No worries. Thank you for having me. So excited.
Well, I'm excited too. And wow, I mean, your career has really encompassed a lot of different areas. So obviously you've worked in the industry, which is great background for you now in your role at Sysco. And you've been at Sysco for the longest time, 16 years, which is great. And you've done a lot of different initiatives in terms of consulting with restaurants across the country. So I'm going to try to gear our questions today really to that whole consulting and resources area of the company. Obviously, everybody in the industry knows who Sysco is, and it's a huge broadline distributor. And in its simplest terms, Sysco is all about selling food. But from your perspective, you're more on the resources end. So can you maybe tell me a little bit about what that means? Because I'm not sure, I mean, obviously you deal with a lot of restaurants, but I'm not sure if everybody out in the industry really knows about this aspect of the company. So tell me a little bit about what the resources area is all about.
Awesome. I just get so excited, to be able to share and talk about the business resource team that we've been doing this for quite some time now, and to be able to share it amongst everyone and definitely the listeners out there and the restaurateurs and stuff like that. There's a lot of people that just don't know about this amazing resource they have that when they partner with Sysco, that they get the privilege to be able to use and to be able to leverage and be able to help their business out. And we have that, and it's amazing. So I'll share a little bit about what our department is and how and where it is and what we get to do every day. And I always start all my lectures and all my presentations just telling everyone out there that I literally have the best job in the industry.
And everybody says that in this industry.
But I really do. And I'm so excited about that. And when I get to tell everyone what I get to do and to travel the country and to visit customers and visit people out there and to really help their business, I truly believe I do have the best one, definitely in Canada. And the one thing, so when we started about 15 years ago, we started Business Resources in Canada. At the time, we called them Business Review. And it was really more or less an avenue for Sysco to really look at. Well, we'll have customers in there and show them products and hopefully they buy these products and we'll move on from there. And over the year, it's really transformed into what it is today, where we really help our customers with their business needs and what they're really struggling with and what they're looking for. And we all know the industry is really shifting in a lot of different ways and different areas within in today's world. It's a whole different world for our industry. Mm-hmm. So when we look at what we do every day is we help our customers really get through what they're dealing with and what they're working on. So we have 16 culinary centers in Canada. Every major center has got one of our facilities in it. And they're all state of the art. We've invested a lot into this area of our business, and they're beautiful facilities that our chefs and our teams work out of every day. We visit about 6,000 independent customers a year across Canada, all different menus that we work on, all different things that we show our customers, and to be able to sit with them for a time period to listen to what they're dealing with and what they're struggling with or what they're succeeding with is what we do every day. We also work with about 30 national chains across Canada as well. And surprisingly, they're kind of dealing with the same things that our independents are dealing with right now with this change in the industry. So it's something that, we look at every day, and we really try to provide that guidance and ideas to our customers on what we feel is the proper thing out there for them. And we listen to them a lot as well, and we learn a lot, probably more than we ever try to share with them, is that we learn more from them than anything. And, you know, I look at and read a lot about the industry, but just to listen to our customers and listen to our chefs and our teams out there, they really hear the insights. We have the best insight team in the industry in Canada, and it's really our department. And it's amazing to be able to hear that every day, what's happening and how we're helping our customers with their business.
So Jay, when you say you have 16 culinary centers across the country, is the distribution component part of those culinary centers as well? Or is this a different offshoot entirely from that?
No, they're actually, so all of our centers are connected except for the one in Saskatoon.
Okay.
They're all connected to our warehouses or our distribution centers.
I see.
So we have our customers into them. We've built them to be customer friendly.
Right.
So they're very, TVs and cooking equipment and different things that we have. So we have our customers in there. We also take them on tours of our warehouses as well. Mm-hmm. We love to share that side of the business with them and really show what makes Sysco so special and what we do when it comes to distribution of goods.
Right.
And because we're pretty good at that area as well for our business.
So if I were a restaurant, let's say I'm an independent restaurant company and I want to order from Sysco, you would bring me in to the distribution side, show me all your products, do a tour, and then you would maybe fine tune what it is that they're looking to do with their menu. Is that right? And then try to educate them on various components?
Yeah, it's very close. What we usually do is, well, especially if they're new, we love them to come in to see our facilities and just really get a tour of the facility, right? We want them to show all the great safety procedures that we do, all the different things we do when it comes to food safety. You know, we're the leaders in food safety. We really wrote the book on it and really something that we're very proud of because we do have the best food safety policies in the industry. We want to share that with them. We want to learn about them. We want to have coffee with them and understand their business. Because what a lot of places that, and we don't do this, is we'll have them in and tell them the solutions right away without knowing what their business is. Mm-hmm. We want to learn more about them before we provide guidance or ideas to them. So we'll have them into an open house or really come into our facilities, into our locations, and let us talk. Let us have a coffee. Let us show you some ideas that may be just new in the industry that may or may not be a fit to your restaurant. Mm-hmm. Then we usually have them in again. Or we'll go out to their facility or to their restaurant
right.
or location. And we'll be able to do what we do in our kitchens. We do it in their kitchens because not every operator can get away from their business.
Of course.
So we do that. And then we just don't stop there, right? We have specialists. I have specialists on our team as well as marketing managers and consultants. So if we see that we need to go and visit that customer and work with that customer multiple times, we call them business builders in our world. We want to do multiple business builders with that customer where we may have them in, get to know their business, have them in again to show them ideas that relates to their business or to menu ideas or mm-hmm. or even business acumen or training or everything in the consulting world in this industry, we'll go again and have another meeting with them. We really believe in multiple actions or activities with our customers out of our department. Mm-hmm. We believe just touching them once a year is really a bad relationship.
Of course.
We want to work closer with them. We want to be a part of their business decisions. when they're changing their menus or they're looking for specials or they're looking for LTOs or different things that they want to do with their business, we want them to think about us first and say, how can I use that? Because we also take all that cost away of that menu innovation or ideations that you're doing within mm-hmm. your restaurant. We do all that for you. You just got to come in, enjoy some of the stuff that we show for your operation and also be a part of that, you know, and we do a lot of pre-sessions with our customers. So when they come in, every minute is what they want us to show them. It's not really about what we want to show them. It's about what they want to see, the direction they want to give us within their business. So that's how we do our sessions every day that way.
So as you said, they come into your place more often than just once a year. And if they're thinking of making a menu change, maybe a seasonal menu change, or if they're wanting to introduce an LTO, they would come and say, look, we want to introduce this LTO. Can you help us develop one? Is that pretty much the way it works?
Absolutely. Even this morning, I won't mention names, but I had one of Canada's largest chains reach out with that same request. They're looking for new ideas for their menus,
right?
And they want our teams to build those for them. And then we'll show them an ideation session and really go through the ideas of it, the cost breakdown of those dishes, how the profitability of them are, how the innovative side is on them. Mm-hmm. And then also how we can use multiple products that they may already have on their menu inside those dishes as well.
Right.
So it's very important that we look at it from not only a culinary side, but definitely from a business side as well.
Do you also help them with the pricing of that item once you introduce that? Or is that something
Absolutely.
That they would just go back?
Yeah. Absolutely. We do market analysis within their areas. We'll do a Canadian market analysis as well, just to make sure that we're helping, guide them in the right way when it comes to pricing those items on their menus and also overall their menus. Sometimes we'll do a whole analysis on their menu to really see where they sit within those markets that they may be placed in. And that usually is interesting.
Right.
Because usually what we'll see is their independents tend to price themselves a little bit lower than what maybe they could be at. Mm-hmm. And we've saved and we've also increased revenue within these locations by multiple thousands of dollars for operators just by showing them where they're at mm-hmm. and bringing them up to what their market price should be on certain menu items that they are producing.
So out of your customer mix, would you say, like, what's the percentage that you would see of chain restaurants compared to independents?
Through our department?
Yeah, with the kind of people that are coming in to get this kind of help. Would it be mostly chains? Like you said this morning, you had a chain restaurant in there. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing more chains than independents, or are independents just as important in that mix of customers that you would see?
We see, like I said, we see about 6,000 independents versus 30 national. So we tend to see a lot more activity within the independent side.
Interesting.
Than we do see at the nationals. Now, we opened up our department to national accounts about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we felt that they had all the solutions and everything. We kind of felt that there really wasn't a match in a sense on what we provided them. Surprisingly, we were absolutely, shocked in a sense, in a good way, that we were able to provide solutions for that side of our business.
Interesting.
And we spend a lot of time on that side of the business now. Obviously, those activities and those events that we do are a quite larger scale because we're dealing with multi-million-dollar operators and operations. And it tends to be a little bit different in how we build those. There's a lot more processes, a lot more things that we have to consider. Right. When we are building and working on that side of the business. But yeah, we do tend to do a lot on that side. And that side also includes a lot of our healthcare customers because we also take care and consult with a lot of our healthcare customers across Canada as well.
So when you say healthcare, you're talking specifically hospitals or institutions or?
Well, they're hospitals. We deal a lot with health hospitals. We deal a lot with long-term facilities and locations. And we do a lot in that side as well. We do quite a bit actually. Yeah.
So Jay, when did you start offering this? You've been with them for 16 years. Was this part of your mandate 16 years when you joined them? Is this when this all started?
No, good question. So the department's about 15 years old.
Okay.
I've been in the department 14 years. This is my 14th year running the department. Now for Canada, I had a vision probably about 7 years ago to bring all of our teams together as one one identity to business resources. So how do I create a team that, you know, uses similar resources, can coach each other, help each other out, drive the initiatives from one perspective down into a group of people that really distributes out to their markets and to their customers? So we started that 7 years ago in Canada on really developing what we have today as the largest consulting team in Canada for this industry. That was about 7 years ago we started that avenue. So it really was, in a sense, in a vision, because when you look at Canada, everyone tends to deal with the similar solutions, or I guess concerns,
right?
Or things in the industry, but very similar from coast to coast. You know, there is such a diverse, but it's really, when it comes to the business model, seems to be very similar. Now, so when he gets to struggles, we have some areas that may have a little harder challenges when it comes to labor. Some locations may have a little bit of challenge when it comes to costing of food, different things, traffic. Those things tend to be very similar in a sense. Some may be stronger in certain areas. But so when we looked at the department and said, okay, how can we provide this as a more of a one model, in a sense, format, we really felt that that was going to allow us to become stronger as one, opposed to being independent and doing our own thing across the country. So we started that 7 years ago, and I tell you, it's just been outstanding. The people that we have on our team, you know, they inspire me every day. They're incredible leaders. They're the best of the best when it comes to this industry, and the knowledge they provide our customers with is just over the top incredible.
And how many people would you have part of that division? How many people work there?
In our department across Canada, we have 80 people.
80, okay.
80 people, which consists of chefs, corporate chefs. We have consultants. We have specialists. We have marketing managers. And we're just starting to open a new division in our ethnic segment managers.
Oh, really?
So going after ethnic business. You bet.
So the chefs you've got working with you help, obviously, from the culinary side, create these products and these and help the restaurants apply these trends in their own businesses.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Okay. So you were telling me a while back that you do about 150 shows in Canada on a number of topics. Can you talk a little bit about that? When you say shows, you're talking about your own distributor shows, or are you talking about industry trade shows that you attend, or a combination of the two?
Well, if we combine them, they're way bigger, but right. We'll keep them separate for now.
Okay.
Because I also lead up the associations and sponsorships across the country as well for Cisco Canada. So we'll put that on the other side. We'll talk about that a different day. But on the other side, when it comes to the events and activities that we do across the country outside of the one-on-one consulting services that we offer, we do about 150 shows a year. And these all consist of everything from education sessions. So we'll have a guest speaker in, or I'll be invited to go and speak at one of our locations, one of our sites, to talk to our customers about specific topics that are happening in the industry. So a lot of the times our customers, you know, like these events. They come in and, you know, we'll spend 2 or 3 hours with them in a lecture format. Like I said, the topics are so diverse, and so a variety is huge. We talk everything from you know, what's happening in golf courses. That's happening at the end of February. I'll be doing a lecture with golf courses on that. Last week we were talking about waste controls in Vancouver, on, you know, what's the systems out there that you need to do and in place in your operation to control your waste. We're doing a lot of lectures on the shifting industry right now across Canada. First, a lot of our education sessions is really what's happening in the industry today and where it's going. We do a lot of little mini shows. In a sense, we'll bring in our vendor community. We'll show products in that way as well, but more intimate than a larger food show style. We've started doing raw events. We call them raw events, where we actually strip away all the identity of Cisco and just really have a get together with our chefs and with our customers, really talking about food and the passion of food. And we do those as well across the country. So it really comes down to a lot of education sessions, a lot of sessions or shows when it comes to really talking to our customers in a different format, and then some food shows and small trade shows on top of that as well.
Okay, so when I'm thinking of a show, I'm thinking probably in a different aspect of a trade show or something like that. These sound like they're more education sessions in a lot of cases. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, we've transitioned. As more people are not necessarily seeing the, I guess, possibly not seeing the advantage of going to a food show, we're having to shift our market or our strategy in a mm-hmm. sense. And really get into more education as more people are looking for educating them more on the industry. So bringing in a lot of speakers.
Okay.
And that also includes our webinars as well.
So let's talk a little bit about the trends that you're seeing when you're doing these education sessions and you're talking to all these restaurant owners, be it at the chain level or at the independent level. What are the hot buttons that are, you know, that are of concern to these operators today? What do you see as some of these big trends?
Wow. Well, there's some significant ones that we're seeing right now that's really rewriting the book almost on our industry. Definitely plant-based foods.
Mm-hmm.
That is enormous. And you know, I've done some lectures recently on plant-based foods, and it is so exciting. I see it as a very exciting opportunity for us. Is really to dive more into this area and to learn about plant-based foods. You know, my department created a burger last year called the Flex Burger,
mm-hmm.
where plant-based was just coming more into the Canadian market in a sense. It really wasn't on the forefront as we see it today. But we brought in and we developed a burger, and then we went out and we had one of our vendors create the burger for us, and
right.
we sell it today across Canada. So it is something that was very exciting for us as well.
Is this a private label burger?
Yeah, it's a Flex Burger. It's called Flex Burger, and it's developed. It's 50% Canadian ground beef and 50% plant-based, so lentils and beans and stuff in there.
Interesting. Okay.
And it's an amazing product. It's got less calories than the burgers that are out there that are plant-based today, and it packs more protein, and it's better for you than anything that's in the market right now. So very, very exciting. That was the first time we actually ventured into creating a product developed by my team, and we had a lot of fun with it as well. But that is an area that I see right now continuing to grow
mm-hmm.
and to continue to develop. And, you know, a few people, I was interviewed, I think, last week, just regarding one of the major manufacturers of one of the products that are out there. And they asked me a lot of questions around it. And, you know, what does it look like for the future? Or what should operators or manufacturers look at when it comes to plant-based mm-hmm. foods? And I really believe it's simple. They got to work on cleaner decks. We need to see cleaner decks in these products. These products need to have more transparency
mm-hmm.
as some of the products out there may be questionable. And you see that, you know, appearing in some of the media today.
Right.
But it really, really comes around. They need cleaner decks, and they also need to work on the flavor profiles. The flavor profiles today on some of them are getting better, but just not there where I do believe you're going to see more and more of consumers, you know, adjusting their diets to incorporate plant-based. Need to work on the flavor profiles a little bit better, but I do believe it's exciting. I know my team's working on new plant-based recipes come March. They're working on a cookbook to really get out there and share with our customers some great ideas around plant-based.
So part of the, question about plant-based dining is that sometimes the products that are out in the market, although they may feel like they're supposed to be healthier because they're plant-based, some of the ingredients that are being used are not always the best. So you're talking about transparency. How are you dealing with that in terms of promoting this Flex Burger? How transparent is Sysco being on what's in this and how healthy is it?
Well, you know what? It's such a great product. You actually, we do advertise the products that are inside that burger. You know, because I think there's seven. One being beef and the rest being beans, lentils. We actually use quinoa. We use quinoa as the glue to keep it all together. And then the manufacturer that's doing it for us did such a fabulous job getting it out there. And we actually wanted to use Canadian ground beef in it because we believe that's got amazing flavor profiles, but it also helps with the flavor of the whole overall burger, right? Because it's got a lot of fat. It's got some fat in it.
Right.
But what happened was we actually reduced the fat content than you would see in any other plant-based product out there. The fat is reduced. The protein's up because you got a lot of those beans and lentils that are in there. Sure. It's impacting it, plus the beef. So our protein percentage on the product is better than anything in the industry that's out there. And it also has a lot less calories than other. So we're not using a lot of additives and different things that are added in there to make it, you know, right, stick together and taste good. So it's actually a phenomenal product. It cooks very, very nice as well on the grill or on a flat top. It just overall a phenomenal product, right? And we really developed it in a sense around the flexitarian movement that, you know, we saw it started in Europe and then we've seen come over to Canada. You know, people like Michael J. Fox is a flexitarian. Those people started promoting this flexitarian diet where we can consume a little bit of protein, but primarily move over to plant-based.
Right.
And kind of float between the two, flex, if you say, between the two. But it is something that we're very proud of developing and something that we may venture down the road and look more to do.
So you're seeing a lot of your customers, a lot of the chains and independents adapting this plant-based trend into their restaurants?
Yes. You know, it's funny you say that. We were talking about this last week with my team as we're working on these plant-based recipes for March, is that we're actually seeing, you know, let's go back 6 months ago or even a year ago. Plant-based was maybe once a month or a customer would come in, you know, in our sites and ask about plant-based ideas. Today, it's every day, almost every customer is asking about this.
Interesting.
Right. So we've seen this dramatically grow as people see the benefit of it as well.
Of course.
Now, we also, you know, I do believe also we'll see some price adjustments when it comes to products. You know, as we see more and more people become more stream and obviously production increases in some of the manufacturers in this area, they'll help reduce some cost on the products. But I also believe that it will become more mainstream. We'll probably see a lot of people start reducing the cost because it is some menus or most menus a premium priced product on people's menus. But I do believe we'll see that adjust in the next 6 months as well.
So what other trends are you seeing other than plant-based from, you know, your experience with the restaurant owners that are coming into your business?
You know, another big one is obviously understanding millennials and Gen Z. That is bit, we were doing a lot of lectures last year actually on this, and we see this still continuing as an area. How do I get them to work harder for me? How do I get them engaged in my operation? Mm-hmm. How do I get them to really deliver that experience that we want for our customers? I do see a lot of people asking about those questions. And then the, you know, we have a, kind of a little, you know, another area that I'm excited about because I think it's really the essence of what we need to do within our industry is the customer experience. You know, it's disappeared over the last 10 years, I would say. Not fully, but it's kind of dissipated in some areas across the country where we don't see the experience as maybe flamboyant or maybe mainstream as it once was back in the early 90s and definitely into the 80s as we started seeing more of these brick and mortars pop up. And they were giving us a different experience as we went into some of these larger restaurants. I believe, and this is what we're seeing, is the guest experience is going to make or break most restaurants as we move forward within our industry over the years to come. If you're not creating an experience, this doesn't mean a bizarre experience. This means some sort of experience that your guests are feeling that much more. You will have a struggle moving forward. And we will be up against third-party delivery, which is also another trend that we're seeing in the industry. But guest experience is going to be the essence as us move, as we see moving forward. It will be really if everyone, and they'll, you know, we always be asked, so what is that one thing I can do for my business to move forward is work on a strategy around guest experience. Have a plan.
So how are you as a supplier and also a partner in their business, how can you contribute to that guest experience?
You know, we can really do analysis of your operations. We can look for, because most locations already have it. Some people just don't even know they have it, or they may not be telling people about it loud enough. So we look at, you know, social media platforms. How's your social presence on social media? Are you getting out to customers to talk about your experiences they're going to have when they come into your operations?
Right.
And then we look at those experiences within your operation, and does that fit what the market is looking for? Right. Because we also got to cater to what the market is, right? So a lot of people may go, well, is bringing a chef out from the back to talk to guests really effective today? Well, yes. Gen Z wants to hear about what's in my food. What's better is to have the chef talk about it.
Sure.
Right? And those different things, we look at that and we evaluate that with our customers. And how is our host specifically addressing your needs when you walk in the door? Are they picking up that you have a younger, you know, family with you, or you're older, and know those different things and traits that are going to make that person feel that much special? So we do review that with the operations. We do go through that with them. We do analysis. We do observe. We do kitchen observing as well. Mm-hmm. All these different things that we do to really make sure that you're giving your customers that much experience. And that also includes the food. By the way, we also look at making sure your food is given an experience as well.
Okay. You mentioned earlier ethnic food, that you're starting something a little bit more with that. Is that one of the trends that you're also noting in your experience with restaurants?
Absolutely. You know, you can't look on most menus today that you don't see ethnic influences in any menu. No matter if you're at McDonald's or a national chain, you'll see ethnic influences everywhere. Right. So we see this area, as we see the more diverse culture coming into Canada, be an absolute area for us to lean into and to learn more about and really start working with those customers out there that maybe haven't worked with Sysco before and haven't really, you know, learned more about what we can offer as a resource as well for them. Because they're also dealing with, you know, quieter times in a sense, or dealing with third party delivery and trying to figure that out as well.
So one of the trends that has been, you know, really pervasive over the last couple of decades is local foods. You know, everybody wants to promote what's grown in your own backyard, basically. As a supplier, and obviously you've got a lot of different SKUs, a lot of different products coming in from all over the world, how important is local to what you're doing? And, you know, from your sheer size, is it possible for you to be as locally focused as perhaps some smaller suppliers? What's your thought on that?
That's funny you ask that. You know, we always get this, you know, you're the big company, how local can you be? Well, I have to tell everyone that's on this or listening to this podcast, we're more local than anyone out there. You know, we support local more than anything. It's one of our big key initiatives within Sysco. One of our areas of that we truly believe is very important for the Canadian economy, and definitely for the markets that are out there. And also, it's really supporting those people that are out there that are eating at our restaurants or eating at our locations, that we're supporting their business. So we work with an enormous amount of local producers out there, local suppliers, everything from seafood all the way up to cattle. Right. And then also definitely when it comes to lentils, rices, you know, produce, absolutely. We support huge when it comes to local. And then we also promote that through our business resources on really talking to our customers about it and how they can leverage it as well.
Exactly.
And really, how do they promote it? Because this isn't, you know, we've seen local for some quite time, right? For
sure.
Quite a while. But how do you leverage it today? Because it necessarily doesn't have the impact as, let's say, plant-based today. So let's say the hot words of the industry. It may not be the hot word as much as it, you know, as it was, let's say, 5 or even 10 years ago, but it is definitely an importance. It is almost a staple that you need today in your operation to make sure you're supporting that local economy, your local customers, and you become that local restaurant that's supporting local, right? So it's something that we look at, and how do we help you create that different aspect of local, right? What does local mean to you?
Sure.
What is it going to mean to your customer base? So yes, but it's definitely something out there that people may be shocked, but definitely Cisco supports local more than anyone out there. We're very proud of it. We're very eager to continue to move it forward in everything we do.
So as consumers today become more knowledgeable and educated and sophisticated, and especially millennials, I find these days people want to know where things are coming from. So a lot of times restaurants promote on the menu, you know, this has been raised in Canada or produced in Canada. Does your inventory management system have the capacity to track the origin mm-hmm. of various items? Not one thing specifically, but various lines. Can you do that?
Absolutely. Yeah, we really want to be able to share that. We actually have had it where even some of our teams will have the ranchers in, and we'll actually have the ranchers talk to our customers that actually produce the beef for us, where some of the farmers will come in and talk about it with our customers. Or seafood, we have this huge out in the Victoria area.
Sure.
A lot of our people that were our fishermen that are out there, we're actually talking to our customers about how they and what they're doing and their relationship with Cisco. So absolutely, we want to see it on menus. We want to help our customers get it on the menus. We want our suppliers to be a part of that enormously. So we need to let them know that we know where they're coming, where it's coming from. And then we're proud of it. And we're very proud of that.
So how about the whole movement with sustainability? Obviously, that's a big trend. It has been for a long time, but I think these days it's becoming a lot more in your face in terms of, you know, people want to know exactly how what you're doing to be sustainable. What are you doing at Cisco in this area so that when restaurant owners and chefs come to see what you're all about, what can you tell them from this area? What's the narrative?
You know, this is an area that Cisco is starting to invest even more than we have in the past. You know, it is something that I find fascinating that a company our size can start to lead and really move forward with. It is something that, you know, I'm proud to be a part of. Sustainability. So I want to start more really around restaurants. So where does this mean in a restaurant of today? And I think it's important that restaurateurs out there really navigate and grab this, in a sense, you know, take it where it is and move forward with it. Because I think it's really important to understand the practices around sustainable practices mm-hmm. and to make sure that you're, in a sense, social responsible. Right. So I'm going to give you some stats here about Cisco. And I get so excited about this because it's huge when it comes to what we're doing. So we have a whole mandate right now around corporate social responsibilities. What is Cisco doing right now across the country? So when we look at some of these things and, you know, we look at, you know, people. So what are we doing to commit to the well-being of communities and really what we're doing within Canada? Across Canada within Cisco. So we have a Nourishing Neighbors program where we're giving back to charitable organizations and really providing charitable donations to them. So this year, this past year, we donated about $2.5 million into that area. Really amazing to see Cisco doing that. We have a No Kid Goes Hunger campaign and program within Cisco. This started in 2002. This is huge. We've helped over 13 million kids in the United States as well as Canada to really make sure they do not go hungry. And then when we look at products, you know, when we look at our social responsibility around products, you know, Cisco is definitely, you know, when we look at seafood, we're 100% committed around the top 15 species of the world that is caught and sourced around the Marine Stewardship Council, so the MSC. That they're certified in this area, right? That's huge. It's huge. And then when we look at food safety, like I said, but we wrote the book on food safety, right? So we check on food safety. We have over 1,700 food safety on-site audits, really plant and field locations that are completed each year. That's unheard of when you look at our industry. That's incredible. And then we look at planet. You know, we look at the planet area. So we look at social responsibility, and this is what everyone kind of zones in because we're all responsible in outside of the industry around this area. But when we look at this, you know, so through, you know, from now to the end of 2016, we've done a lot of initiatives around this area. So we recycle a ton in our operations across the country. You know, so what it equates to is about over 317,000 trees we've recycled within the waste that we produce out of our operations. We really recycle about 19,000 tons of waste each year. Mm-hmm. You know, we protect and work with about 129 million gallons of water a year. So that means, because we have freezers in our facilities and all these other things, is we reduce that consumption. It's huge, right? So, and we're working right now on multiple activity when it comes to waste in products in our buildings. And, you know, we have food that will go outdated, or products that may get damaged. We were working on niches right now to eliminate waste in our operations. We don't want to see that ever happen, right? So it is definitely exciting when we talk about social responsibilities within Cisco, and that this is public knowledge. You can see it on our websites. We're proud of these initiatives and these corporate messages that we want to bring out to the public. Because the size of it is, we really are a huge company, but definitely really ground and grassroots as we work.
How does the whole topic of plastics play into, like, how things are packaged? Have you done any work on that area to reduce the use of plastics or to eliminate it entirely?
A little. You know, we've done some initiatives where, you know, there's a lot of plastic within the wrapping of materials that we bring into our facilities. Also, when we're packaging different things. So we have key initiatives around those areas that really help reduce that. So also looking at the packaging, recycling of materials that we use within our products and our boxes, we definitely are focused on that big time as we move forward and really work around our responsibilities.
And when you're talking to these customers, these restaurant owners, independents, chains, how are you helping them, or are you helping them in terms of cutting their own costs? Because obviously cost control is a really big area for restaurants in order to become more efficient. So have you introduced any of these initiatives to help restaurants cut costs?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can you give me some examples?
Well, we look at a lot of things. One, I'm a big believer, the bigger the menu, the bigger the freezer.
Right.
And frozen food doesn't sell as much as fresh.
Exactly.
So we look at menus, we look at labor, we look at food cost, we look at an overall P&L statement in a sense. Actually, we do P&L reviews as well, but we'll look at a whole business model of what you have from top to bottom when it comes to looking at costs and areas that you can reduce. So have you negotiated deals with your landlord on your lease agreements? We can talk about those different things. We can also talk about how much items do you have on your menu, and do you need those items to sustain what you need to be doing, and that are costly, are too expensive to have on your menu, and how often do you sell them? So we do reviews on those as well, and we do really assess those areas, because typically most people are running a larger menu than they need nowadays, or even on their beverage areas. Mm-hmm. How are they reducing costs within some of the beverages that they may have? You know, how long is that old bottle of whiskey or some vodka sit on the back shelf of your bar and is just picking, you know, isn't selling, right? So we definitely look at all those areas when it comes to the reduce. And then we also look at the products you're ordering from us. Is there options out there that you can have that may be not necessarily always cheaper when it comes to a reduced cost of the product, but also will give you a longer, I guess, execution of the product, or the product will be able to use in multiple areas, or you don't need this product, you can use this product and it will reduce your cost by this much. Mm-hmm. We look at everything, you know, the old saying of the French fry days, you know, is there French fries that can actually cover the plate more than a French fry that maybe isn't efficient like that, though you'll have to use more French fries. So it actually increases your cost. So we definitely, this is a big area of our passion in our industry, is helping our customers reduce cost or make more money. It's really that simple.
So do you also help them on the labor side, in terms of labor is a really huge issue in the industry today, and it's always been? Finding people to work in the kitchen and restaurants is getting harder and harder. How do you help them with that challenge?
Funny you say that. We just have a webinar tomorrow that we're bringing in the founder and president of HYR app, which is the app that really helps customers with labor problems, where they're able to pull in different people in their marketplaces, in the areas that can help support if they're running low on staff or a chef wasn't able to come in. This is an area we definitely look at as well. A big part of the P&L is that labor and really addressing it. Now, are you looking at different ways to recruit them? Are you looking at different ways to keep them? Because most restaurants, the retention of keeping your staff is quite high, right? It doesn't typically, especially in the Canadian market, be an area where we see long-term careers as a server, which maybe one day will change, not like in the Europe markets or even some parts of the Americas. But this is an area that we truly believe you need to be cautious about, because most operators are now working in their business, not necessarily on their business, is they're incurring some of those costs because they're picking up what they may not have a chef, so I'm going to work the line today. And we're really not seeing them necessarily figure out how to really work with the problems of labor. We're trying to help them with those, right? We're trying to come solutions around that. It is definitely an area that I truly believe that will kind of work its way out.
Okay.
And the more that this generation that's coming around, Gen Z, you know, the millennials are the ones that disrupted us pretty good. It's this next generation that's really going to find out and figure out that how to work in restaurants. And then we create that experience. They're having better, you know, better tips. It's kind of like this, you know, reward in a sense that we're going to get with this next generation that's going to see the benefits of working in this industry and the excitement that comes from this industry. That's why we need to create those experiences. We need to be cautious with the third party delivery that it doesn't erode that passion that we have in the industry.
For sure. And Jay, when you look at, everything we've touched on today really is a bit of a challenge and an opportunity. What do you think is the biggest challenge that the distribution sector faces these days? And conversely, maybe what's the best opportunity as well?
The biggest opportunity for us today is listening to our customers more and helping them more. That's why Sysco invests in the business resource department we have today, is because we know the biggest opportunity for us as a distributor, as a company, of what we offer is helping them. Because you can get your food anywhere, right? But to be able to get 30 chefs working for you that doesn't cost you anything, it's a service that we offer our customers, a value-added service, that is really where we need to grow and where we need to gain. Anyone can take an order, but no, there's not too many people out there that can help you sell those items you took on that order to the most efficient way that you can have to generate the most income you can get out of those products. No one else does that, right? And I truly believe when we look at the opportunities is for us to continue to invest in this area of the business and continue to grow, continue to get on shows like today and talk about the amazing things we do, because that's truly what's going to help our industry out there, is for us to have the people like on my team that truly lead with passion about it and to move it forward. Right? We can't just lose all these things, and we can't just let us just ship food, right? There's more to it.
More to it than food, right? You're saying that you're absolutely not your typical supplier, or distributor.
No, we're not that at all. Definitely not.
And no other distributor is doing what you are doing. You said, are they, do you think that's going to stay that way for a while, or do you think people are going to start tapping into that as well?
We're flattered that few have tried. We're flattered. They take our same concept and they've tried. We're flattered by that. You know, copying is always a compliment as we look at it. But no one in today's market, especially in the Canadian market, does what we do. No one does that. No one has a team our size. No one truly, I guess, understands their customers as much as we do. And we truly believe we don't know all the answers, and we know we don't have all the answers. But it is an area that we truly believe that makes us different than our competitors that are out there, than any other distributor out there. It's really simple, but we seem to do it really good. And I think it's a few combinations. It's the passion our people have on my team, and it's really the it's the people. It's really the people. You know, I was on a call today with them and just, you know, we laugh, we have fun. We're all challenged, But with what we're dealing with every day to work and to make our customers succeed, but it's the people. It really is. And their passion is tremendous. You know, all we do all day is help customers in this industry, and it's incredible.
So based on what you've seen through your job and through your fun, all the fun that you're having, can you tell me, how do you envision the restaurant of the future as it pertains to supplier issues? Do you think the way restaurants supply their ingredients will change dramatically over the next decade? I mean, technology has already changed quite a bit, but how do you see it further changing?
I think it's really going to start to develop education. You know, the more that we can provide those solutions and ideas, educate our customers more on what that means when it comes to distributor. I believe food safety is going to play a bigger means into anything. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to have a company that has processes in place that you know your food is safe, that you're giving your customers. I think restaurants are going to be able to leverage that in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, I buy from this company because they have the best food safety policies. I'm comfortable. You can eat here.
Right.
Because there's a lot of questions out there in some of those policies that are out in the marketplaces. Yep. I believe restaurants, because as we get more in depth and attached to cautionary things that are happening in the world with diseases and different things, you know, getting into the food chains and different things, disrupting it. I believe food safety will be a definite asset for companies like Sysco to continue to thrive and continue to lead in this area. I also believe that the restaurant of the future, and really, will definitely have to, like I said earlier, go back to the experience. But I also believe they need to, when they're looking for those distributor out there and they're looking for those companies, is to build that relationship, is to look at them as a part of your business. And instead of sometimes we don't always feel like an ally, but as someone that's not there for their best interest. And they need to really put that to the side, especially with us, because we truly believe, and it's in our motto, and it's in everything we talk about, is truly partnering with our customers. And we truly believe that. And it's something that I know, especially in my department, we talk about every day. We put customer, not physically in the room, but they're in the room with us. And that's how we start our meetings. And that's how we talk about different things, is how our customers will look at everything that we do. So when you're looking at an operator of the future, you need to partner with your operator or your distributor. Mm-hmm. You need to partner with them, and you need to put some trust into them, right? Because we have a huge vested interest in their best outcomes. Huge, huge interest in them.
I think that's the key word that you said. You know, you have to see them as your partner. Mm-hmm. It's a team effort, right? And it's not just about what the restaurant is doing on the menu, but it's having a partner they can rely on and trust, and also help them get into maybe different areas that they hadn't thought of. So it's a partnership in the true sense of the word, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Well, on that note, Jay, our time has run out. But I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and out of all that fun that you're having to speak with us today. And I look forward to seeing how Sysco continues to grow and develop its partnership with operators. So good luck on that front. And thank you again for taking the time.
No, thank you. This is just awesome, and looking forward to, you know, such a great 2020 as well. And thanks again for having me on today. Just really appreciate it.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of the Table Talk Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd love for you to rate and review our show. Also, make sure you never miss an episode by clicking the subscribe button. For additional resources related to today's episode, please visit our website, foodserviceandhospitality.com. Until next time.